Chapter 6. Casterbridge had known many military and civil episodes, many happy times, and times less happy, and now came the time of her visitation. The scourge of cholera had been laid on the suffering country, and the low-lying purlieus of this ancient borough had more than their share of the infliction. Mixon Lane, in the Durnover Quarter, and in Mombry's Parish, was where the blow fell most heavily. Yet there was a certain mercy in its choice of a date, for Mombry was the man for such an hour. The spread of the epidemic was so rapid that many left the town and took lodgings in the villages and farms. Mr. Mombry's house was close to the most infected street, and he himself was occupied morn, noon, and night in endeavors to stamp out the plague and in alleviating the sufferings of the victims. So, as a matter of ordinary precaution, he decided to isolate his wife somewhere away from him for a while. She suggested a village by the sea, near Budmouth Regis, and lodgings were obtained for her at Creston, a spot divided from the Casterbridge Valley by a high ridge that gave it quite another atmosphere, though it lay no more than 6 miles off. Thither she went. While she was rusticating in this place of safety, and her husband, and was slaving in the slums, she struck up an acquaintance with a lieutenant in the St. Foot, a Mr. Vannicock, who was stationed with his regiment at the Budmouth Infantry Barracks. As Laura frequently sat on the shelving beach, watching each thin wave slide up to her, and hearing, without heeding, its gnaw at the pebbles in its retreat, he often took a walk that way. The acquaintance grew and ripened. Her situation, her history, her beauty, her age a year or two above his own all tended to make an impression on the young man's heart, and a reckless flirtation was soon in blithe progress upon that lonely shore. It was said by her detractors afterwards that as he had chosen her lodging, to be near this gentleman, but there is reason to believe that as he had never seen him till her arrival there. Just now Casterbridge was so deeply occupied with its own sad affairs, a daily burying of the dead, and destruction of contaminated clothes and bedding, that it had little inclination to promulgate such gossip as may have reached its ears on the pair. Nobody long considered Laura in the tragic cloud which overhung all. Meanwhile, on the Budmouth side of the hill the very mood of men was in contrast. The visitation there had been slight and much earlier, and normal occupations and pastimes had been resumed. Mr. Mombry had arranged to see Laura twice a week in the open air, that she might run no risk from him, and, having heard nothing of the faint rumor, he met her as usual one dry and windy afternoon on the summit of the dividing hill, near where the high road from town to town crosses the old ridgeway at right angles. He waved his hand, and smiled as she approached, shouting to her, "We will keep this wall between us, dear. Walls form the field fences here. You mustn't be endangered. It won't be for long, with God's help. I will do as you tell me, Jack. But you are running too much risk yourself, aren't you? I get little news of you, but I fancy you are. Not more than others. Thus somewhat formally they talked, an insulating wind beating the wall between them like a mill weir. But you wanted to ask me something? He added. Yes. You know we are trying in Budmouth to raise some money for your sufferers, and the way we have thought of is by a dramatic performance. They want me to take a part. His face saddened. I have known so much of that sort of thing, and all that accompanies it. I wish you had thought of some other way. She said lightly, that she was afraid it was all settled. You object to my taking a part, then? Of course, he told her, that he did not like to say he positively objected. He wished they had chosen an oratorio, or lecture, or anything more in keeping with the necessity it was to relieve. But, said she impatiently, people won't come to oratorios or lectures. They will crowd to comedies and farces. Apostrophe, well, I cannot dictate to Budmouth how it shall earn the money it is going to give us. Who is getting up this performance? Apostrophe, the boys of the ST. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, yes, our old game. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied Mr. Mombry. The grief of Casterbridge is the excuse for their frivolity. Candidly, dear Laura, I wish you wouldn't play in it. But I don't forbid you to. I leave the whole to your judgment. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the interview ended, and they went their ways northward and southward. Time disclosed to all concerned that Mrs. Mombry played in the comedy as the heroine, the lover's part being taken by Mr. Vanycock. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.